You're listening to the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Hawks Football Show on the Shore Sports Network, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310, and at shoresportsnetwork.com.
Halfway through the show already, flying by on a Tuesday night from Jack's goal line stand in the West End. Some good minutes with Tristan Roberts talking about the offensive side of the ball, and we'll go defense the remaining part of the night. And happy to talk to this guy, senior Andrew Sutton from Williamstown, New Jersey. Andrew, first of all, you know, timeliness is important, you know. Number one, we were getting a little worried that you weren't going to show up tonight, but it is good to see you. Thanks for giving us a few minutes. How are things going after Saturday now, a couple of days removed?
Definitely a couple of days removed. You know, it was tough to swallow when it first happened. You know, obviously you want to go out there and win every game, but good thing coming. We got six conference games coming up here, so it'll be good to get back out there Saturday. Get that taste out of our mouth. Homecoming should be a good crowd. I know the guys are all excited to get back out in conference play.
You know, I hate to be negative to start the interview off, but the last couple of weeks for the defensive side of the ball has been rough. You know, the points against Albany, then you have a week off to kind of stew on that one a little bit, and then you give up, you know, some big yardage and some big points to Cornell. Coach made this statement in our opening segment. He said right now the defense kind of has a bad taste in their mouth, which – all things considered, could be a good thing going into the game on Saturday.
Definitely. Like you said, it was tough with the bye week, too, coming off loss on a bye. You kind of got sitting at it for a week. Then coming out, not winning the game was really tough. But, you know, we played two good opponents, two good offenses. But we're definitely hungry to get back out there on Saturday, get back to how we were playing the first 1, 2, 3 weeks of the year.
Is it a case of better opponents the last 2 weeks, or more mistakes, or a combination of both?
You know, we're definitely playing good opponents, but there's a lot of things out there that things that we're not doing right, whether schematically, physically, just mentally. You know, if we can clean up the things that we're making mistakes on, we should be all right.
We got Brian coming in on Saturday. The Bulldogs pulled off their first win of the season against Robert Morris, and certainly from a player's perspective, I'll ask Coach when we talk about this later, but from a player's perspective, would you rather play a team that hasn't won a game yet, which Brian would have been if they had lost Robert Morris, or a team coming in off their first win of the season?
You know what? I don't think it really matters, honestly. I think, you know, each week is a different week. Teams are going to come ready to play whether or not they won, they lost. You know, Brian, we know they're a good opponent. You know, they only have one win, but they're in a lot of their games. You look at their scores. So, you know, if it win-loss, I don't think it really matters. I think everyone's going to come in with a chip on their shoulder, try to win.
Defensively, you play one of those safety spots, and as now a veteran of the group, and some young guys now starting to kind of mix their way in. I mean, Mitchell Pollard's not a young guy, but he made a transition from the offensive side of the ball to the defensive side of the ball. Pat Gray, kind of a guy who's still, I'm sure, learning as just a sophomore, and Joe Johnson has seen some more time this year. How important is it for you as kind of an older guy in that group to keep everyone level-headed and together?
Definitely is. You know, back there, it gets tough. There's a lot of things going on. You can ask Elijah. He comes up to me switching from corner, playing a couple games of safety down. He always jokes around with me. He's like, I don't know how you do it, man. He's like, corner, it's just so easy for me. And now I got to make the calls and everything, but it's definitely a lot going on. It's, you know, the thing I noticed, if you take a second, let the game slow down, just look at the formation, look at the picture, it's a lot easier. But when you first get out there, in the scheme of things are running, you know, 100 miles an hour. You got to take a second, process it, and it really just goes back to things we learned in August.
And I've always said this, Matt, and Andrew, you'll probably agree that the safety position, at least in our defensive scheme, takes a little bit longer to learn, to become comfortable with, than say corner or maybe even linebacker or defensive line. Certainly, you know, there's a lot more to it. We put a lot on the shoulders of our safeties in terms of communications and getting us lined up, and by the nature of some of the coverages that we play, they have many more reads than say a corner would have. And as Andrew said, they need to not only digest and process all that information, but they have to allow the game to slow down. There's things they have to see and they have to communicate. And if their eyes aren't in the right place, or they're a little bit confused about where they need to be looking, it can get pretty hairy back there.
You know, Andrew, I always like when we have, you know, different guys, which we do every week, and kind of read up a little bit more on everyone. And everyone's got a different story, you know. Like Tristan came in from a junior college. Dave will have his story. Your story is kind of interesting, too. I mean, you go to Williamstown High School. You come to Monmouth. You don't play a whole lot your first couple of years. And then last year you kind of popped right into the starting lineup all of a sudden. How difficult a transition was it for you to go from, I'm sure, being a great high school player to come to Monmouth and not be able to play right away and kind of sit and watch and learn a little bit?
Yeah, it definitely was different from, you know, going in high school automatically, just kind of being thrown into the mix, just expecting to play and do all that thing. But, you know, honestly, I think it was the best thing that could have happened for me to sit out 2 years there and watch it, kind of learn everything. Like Coach said, it takes a long time to really know everything inside and out. So just sitting back there and watching Jose just play and learning from him, It was definitely a good thing for me to sit back and kind of take it all in from a side point of view.
Well, that was going to be my follow-up question. I mean, when you did work your way into the starting lineup last year, you kind of had a good guy to learn.
Yeah, he wasn't bad.
Yeah, I mean, in playing next to Jose. What was that experience like? I mean, he's a guy who goes into the NFL, right, goes into a training camp, still around after an injury already this year. But your experience just playing next to him all
awesome.
Season last year.
Awesome. It's definitely going in last year as a first-year starter. I definitely had, you know, questions about things to do. And just knowing he was there, I knew he knew everything 10 times better than I did. He was always there, you know, questions. Sometimes I'd ask him some things, and he'd tell me how he would do it. And I'd have to go, Jose, you know,
I can't do that.
I can't do it like you do that. But thanks for the tip.
You're very honest.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's another thing, too, you know, just mentioning Jose. And, you know, he was one of those guys, as Andrew is now, who really picked things up, the mental aspect of playing the safety position very well. And I think Andrew, having had the opportunity to play with Jose or next to Jose last year, you know, was able to pick up a lot of those things. And like we were saying, there's a lot that goes into playing that position.
Yep.
It's more than just standing back there in the middle of the field.
Well, I mean, that, you know, that's a great transition into academics. And I know academics are extremely important to you. You've been on the NEC academic honor roll. You've been on the District 2 all-academic team. So from that perspective, I mean, you know, I think from what I take from this interview is you're pretty grounded in what's going on. I mean, football will end for you at some point. And you have probably other goals that you're going to look forward to. But the academic side of being a college student athlete has been something that's been extremely important to you.
Yeah, it definitely has. I mean, I remember back when I was little, even my parents, my grandparents, they were always on me. You know, I wouldn't be allowed to go to practice a game, or, you know, if stuff wasn't done in the time, they'd always put in respect. They said, you know, you're a student athlete, student for the athlete. My grandfather actually played college football, and He kind of gave me the foundation, the path there. He swore he was, you know, he was the real deal. And then he said as he got older, he's like, you know, I definitely should try a little harder. Like, things aren't working out as they were. So he's always on my back about that.
And, you know, Coach, I mean, it's something that gets preached all the time from coaches, from administrators, from professors, and the media. You got to be a good student athlete. You got to be a good student slash athlete, but Andrew's kind of mastered it a little bit.
He has, and, you know, he does extremely well academically. You know, you mentioned some of the, you know, achievements that he's had, and, you know, he's somebody that he understands the big picture of what's down the line for him. And I think he's worked so hard in the classroom. He's worked very hard on the football field and to prepare himself to play football as well. But I think he's got everything in the proper perspective. And, you know, he's going to be very successful, you know, once he graduates and moves on from Monmouth as well.
Business major, so, I mean, any immediate plans in your head for, like, after graduation? I know there's still 5 football games left,
yeah,
which is the focus right now. But, I mean, I'm sure you seem like someone who's kind of looked a bit more long-term than just the next week.
You know what? No, I honestly don't have anything set in stone. You know, I still have, I redshirted my freshman year, so I still have a fifth year. I'm kind of just taking it semester by semester. I'm kind of just enjoying the time I have now with you know, the kids on the team, my friends here, just kind of enjoying it as it goes week by week. I know definitely my time's dwindling here, so I'm just trying to enjoy every practice. You know, it could be the last one coming up. So,
tell me real quick before we let you go, tell me what's going to be different this week against Bryant from the last 2 weeks against Albany and Cornell.
That's simple. We're going to win.
I like that.
I like that answer,
that's a
too.
That's a pretty good. That sounds like a guy who wants to get back to his food before it disappears, right?
Short, sweet answer.
Andrew, appreciate you coming by, giving us a couple minutes. Always good to talk to you. Continued success the rest of the year. Look forward to seeing that win on Saturday afternoon against Bryant.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Andrew. Great job.
Andrew Sutton, senior secondary member. We'll step out here and take a quick 60-second timeout again. We'll stick on the defensive side of the ball and talk things over with linebacker Dave Demergen. We'll do that all after this quick 60-second pause. You're listening to the Kevin Callahan Mama Football Show on the Shore Sports Network.
Bob and Marianne's Lifestyle Expo, the original senior expo, is back Monday, October 29th at the Ocean County Mall on Hooper Avenue in Toms River. Presented by Ocean Medical Center, a member of the Meridian Health family. Come at 8 a.m. and visit us at Center Court for Bob and Marianne's live broadcast, free breakfast, and to register for bingo and a chance to win up to $500 cash. You could also enter for your chance to win $250. Drawings will take place at 11:30 and 12:30. Must be present at time of drawing to win. Get your flu shot at the expo from Ocean Health Initiatives while supplies last. Made possible by Caring Heart and Brain Imaging of Wall. You must have a valid photo ID. The vaccine free with a valid Medicare Part B card. Visit with local businesses. Get health screenings. Sell your gold or get your jewelry appraised right at the expo, courtesy of Nationwide Gold and Estate Buyers. And more. Bob and Marianne's Lifestyle Expo, the original senior expo, Monday, October 29th at the Ocean County Mall on Hooper Avenue in Toms River. Sponsored in part by Horizon Blue Cross Blue Shield and Bellaterra. Visit WOBMAM.com for details.
You're listening to the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Hawks Football Show on the Shore Sports Network, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310, and at ShoreSportsNetwork.com.
All right, back here for our last player segment of the night. Good enough to give us a few minutes here is senior linebacker Dave Demergen. Dave, first of all, welcome to the show. Good to see you.
Good to be here.
First question, I think I have to ask this. How does a guy from Churchville, Pennsylvania, wind up here in West Long Branch with all of the schools in Pennsylvania? How do you make your way here to the Jersey Shore?
Well, to be honest, I had never really heard of the school before I started getting recruited for football. But whenever I started talking to Coach Archer, and I really like Coach Archer. He was a very good guy. And when I took my visit, I really like the school. I really like the coaches. The atmosphere is great, and I just had that edge over the other Pennsylvania schools.
So it's been a good fit now, 4 years in. You know, this is you are a senior. It's your fourth year, so it's been the right decision for you.
Oh, definitely, yeah. I've enjoyed my 4 years here.
I'll spare you a lot of the rehashing of the Cornell game since you are our last guest of the night. We'll focus a little bit more on coming up this week against Bryant. You know, I think when you look at how the season has gone, you guys get off to the 3-1 start, a couple of blips on the radar screen the last 2 weeks. But I think the momentum that you built up in those first four games is things, especially defensively, that you can kind of rely on. How easy is it for a player to almost say, we've got to forget about the last 2 weeks and kind of remember what we did the first four games rather than the last two?
You know, being a football player and specifically a defensive football player, you learn to have a short mind. That's just what you have to do. You make a mistake, you just have to get over it. A tough loss, you just have to get over it, and you just got to stay positive and just move on to the next week.
So when you think about coming up against Bryant this week, I'm sure that, you know, the film sessions have intensified over the course of the last couple of days. They've got a couple of big-time players. They've got Jordan Brown in the backfield, Jordan Harris at the wide receiver spot. We'll talk real quick about their running game. You know, it hasn't been as successful so far this year as it's been the last couple of years with Brown, but he's got big play potential and ability, and playing in the front seven of Monmouth. What schematically things, and I'm not looking for anybody to give the game plan away, but how do you slow down a guy who basically every time he gets the football could probably break it for a touchdown?
No, we're just going to do what we do. That's how we go out every week. We're just going to play our game. You know, Jordan Brown is obviously very talented, but we try to dictate to the offense, not let them dictate to us. So that's just the mentality we take every week.
You know, you've kind of got, I don't know if you were listening to the other interviews, you've kind of got your story too. I mean, here you come from Pennsylvania, from Churchville, Pennsylvania, and you don't play a whole lot. You miss a year because of an injury. Last year, you're kind of in the rotation a little bit, and now all of a sudden this year, you're fourth on the team in tackles, and you're getting a whole lot more playing time. Do you feel like you've kind of found yourself as a player again a little bit?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I've just been just patiently waiting for my opportunity. You know, I feel like I've grown over the years. Each year I've taken steps forward. And this year, yeah, I feel great. I came in the best shape of my life, and I'm just out there having fun.
I mean, Coach, when you think about a guy like Dave who goes through that freshman year, acclimated to college football, but then has to miss his sophomore year, you think about being 2 years removed from the game. How difficult is that for him to work his way back into the rotation?
Well, it's difficult. And I think if you talk to any of our guys, and Andrew alluded to it a little bit, that the transition that needs to be made going from being a high school player to being a college player and coming in as a freshman and kind of being on the you know, the last rung on the ladder, so to speak, and just when you feel you're getting comfortable with a new system and new people and a new environment, then you have an injury that's going to set you back yet another year. And you start to get a little frustrated. But, you know, to Dave's credit, you know, he's worked very hard, not only in the rehab from the shoulder injury that he had, but to get himself back to the point where he could be a reliable player on the field for us. He got a taste of it last year where he was in a rotation. And now this year, he's been playing significant time, and he's been playing very well. As a matter of fact, you know, it wasn't a great day for our defense in general last Saturday at Cornell. But Dave was one of the bright spots of that unit. He was our defensive player of the week on our team for his play in that game. He did a good job. He was very consistent. And, you know, that's not to say, like anybody, there's things that we can't always do better and improve upon, but he did a very good job and was a very consistent performer for us in that game.
Dave, is that bittersweet to be the defensive player of the week in a game where the defense kind of struggled a little bit? I mean, great to see that you're at the top of the rung for that particular game, but overall it was kind of a rotten game defensively, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's nice to have the personal accolades, but, you know, at the same time, I would take a win over player of the week any day, so it is bittersweet.
You know, you're kind of a bit like Andrew, academically very strong. You know, you've been on those same recognitions lists, the NAC honor roll team. How does one balance out being, you know, a guy who gets minutes, so you've got to put your time in on the football field, but also doing well in the classroom?
It's tough. You know, I'd be lying if I said it was easy. You know, you're a lot more tired than the average student. You have a lot less time, but you just got to manage your time. And, you know, I figured I'm here. I might as well. You can't play football forever, so I might as well make the most of my time.
I think both Dave and Andrew have a really good handle on the time management, as Dave's alluded to right here. But what's more, I think, is that they're very disciplined in what they do. They know when they have, you know, work to do for a class, that they go and get the work done. They're not putting it off to the last minute. They manage their time. They're good planners. They're organized. And that's why they're successful in both areas.
Who's the better student? You guys are both business majors. I mean, not GPA, but, like, if I had a business question, am I going to go to you or am I going to go to Andrew?
Two heads are better than one, so why not come to
both? Man, these answers, these politically correct answers. You guys are killing me. Dave, talk real quick about the rest of the season. And I know it's hard to look at the big picture. You've got five games left. And I asked Andrew this, how important is it for you guys to get back on kind of a good roll this game on Saturday, not only for homecoming, but I think just the overall theme of the season puts you back above 500, kind of erases the taste of the last couple weeks. This is a big one on Saturday.
Oh, it's huge. It's huge. You know, dropping the past two has been tough. But, you know, if we can get a win this week and then get rolling, you know, who's to say we can't finish 7-3? And, I mean, you never know what can happen in the NEC, so...
Do you guys find yourself as players now doing a bit of scoreboard watching? I mean, are you kind of waiting for Albany to maybe trip up? Or when you saw Duquesne lose this past week, is it, wow, can't believe, you know, Duquesne got beat by Central Connecticut State? Or do players not really pay a whole lot of attention to that?
I mean, for me, I just try and worry about Monmouth and what we can do. And the rest will work itself out, but... you know, we check occasionally, but I just try and worry about mama.
And that's a good perspective to have, because, you know, and I tell our guys, you know, watching what other people do and whether they win or lose doesn't do and won't do us any good unless we win ourselves. So, yeah, we might have a casual interest in what's going on around the league, but our real focus has to be on what we do every week.
Dave, last question before we let you go. You got a big fat sandwich waiting for you that you've been eyeing up for the last few minutes. If you had to pick one play, I always like to throw these kind of questions at it, guys. If you can make a hit to cause a fumble or intercept a pass and bring it back for a touchdown, which one are you taking?
Does the fumble cause a touchdown?
Wow, these guys again, Coach. I mean,
hey,
just
it's a smart group.
Doesn't make a touchdown, but it's a hit that everybody in the crowd goes, oh.
I'll take the pick six.
Take the points. I like that. Dave DeMersion here giving us a couple minutes. Dave, appreciate the time. Good luck on Saturday. Continued success the rest of the year. Talk to you down the line.
All right, thanks a lot for having me.
Great job, Dave. Dave DeMersion, senior linebacker here for Monmouth. We'll step out, take one more timeout. We'll take this a two-minute pause when we come back. Coach and I will get into Brian a bit more and break down the Bulldogs getting ready for a homecoming Saturday. Coming up at 1 o'clock this Saturday afternoon from Kessler Field. Two-minute pause. You're listening to the Kevin Callahan Mama Football Show on the Shore Sports Network.
Every Monday from 10 to 11 a.m., you're invited to join Stan and Lee Malotsky of the SHM Financial Group, providing financial insights and strategies since 1958 for an informative one-hour program called the Malotsky Money Hour, right here on WOBM AM 1160 and 1310. Whether you're retired or still working, Stan and Lee will provide you with information designed to help you manage your money more safely and securely, as well as protecting and preserving your assets. That's the Malotsky Money Hour, Monday from 10 to 11 a.m., right here on WOBM AM 1160 and 1310.
Calling all dog lovers, Caregiver Volunteers of Central Jersey is partnering with WOBM AM's Marianne Levy and her dog Tiramisu to present an afternoon of canine fun and education. Enjoy a therapy dog fashion show, a performance by the Prancing Paws Freestyle Club of New Jersey Dance Group, and a demonstration from the Toms River Police Department Canine Unit. It takes place at Toms River Intermediate East on Hooper Avenue in Toms River on Sunday, November 4th from 1 to 4 p.m. There will be vendors, animal experts, a 50-50, door prizes, and you can meet Marianne, Tiramisu, and the therapy dog models. Only dogs in the show are allowed. Tickets are $10 for adults, $5 for children under 12. To purchase tickets, call Danielle at 732-505-2273, extension 202, or log on to caregivervolunteers.org. You can also purchase tickets at the door. All money raised goes toward Caregiver Canine's pet therapy programs. Don't miss Caregiver Canine's Variety Show on Sunday, November 4th.
Join the all-new WOBM AM Clubhouse at WOBMAM.com and enter to win great prizes such as an Apple iPad 2, a Toshiba 50-inch LCD HD TV, a Keurig Platinum Brewer, $500 cash, and much, much more. So join the WOBM AM Clubhouse and play games, answer trivia, get prizes, all at WOBMAM.com. Powered by Meridian Health, taking care of New Jersey.
You're listening to the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Hawks Football Show on the Shore Sports Network, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310, and at shoresportsnetwork.com.
And we're back here to wrap things up. The Jack's Goal Line Stand, the site for the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Football Show, each and every Tuesday night from 7 to 8 o'clock. We talk about last week's game. We have players and or coaches on. We talk about this week's game, which is where we are at right now. Monmouth with a homecoming Saturday date against the Bulldogs of Bryant University. And we saved one score from earlier in the program and kind of talk about it a little bit more. Bryant coming in fresh off of their first win of the season. They snap a six-game losing streak this year, seven-game losing streak overall going back to last year. They beat Robert Morris in a thriller last week in Rhode Island, 38-35. Coach, got to be a confidence booster for them to finally get off the snide. I mean, this was a team that got a first-place vote in the preseason poll and has really struggled all year long.
They had, Matt, and, you know, and I know in some of our previous shows when we would talk about what's going on around the NEC, you know, I said many times that I was very surprised that, you know, that they hadn't won more games and, you know, looking at their weekly scores. But looking at what they did last week in the Robert Morris game, it was their best offensive output of the season so far. They scored 38 points where they had been in the, you know, 21, 21, 7, 14, in that range there. So they've kind of exploded offensively, and it seems as though they've found their groove. As you know, they've got a couple of very good weapons on the offensive side, and running back Jordan Brown, who last year was the nation's leading rusher in FCS football. He's still averaging over 40 yards per attempt this year. Doesn't have quite the total yardage that he had at this time a year ago or through this many games, but still a back that can take it the distance in any play. And they have a very talented receiver in Jordan Harris, who's putting up big numbers himself and is averaging almost 19 yards per reception. And that's huge. They got the ball into those two guys' hands last week. Almost every play, if one of them had the ball, and I think the result was an explosion offensively for him.
Harris so far on the year, 38 receptions for 702 yards. He averages over 115 yards per game, 8 touchdown catches so far on the year. He is a talented player on the outside, and, you know, unfortunately it kind of maybe plays into some issues defensively that Monmouth has had for the last couple of weeks.
Well, that's something, you know, certainly we're, you know, very concerned about as we looked at, you know, where we had some breakdowns a week ago up at Cornell and the, you know, the things that Jordan Harris brings to the table in terms of being able to catch the ball and get the ball into the end zone. And, you know, we've made some adjustments and some of the things that we're going to be doing to hopefully, you know, stem that a little bit. But he's a very, very talented player.
And Jordan Brown, a guy who seemingly has been the Bryant offense for the last few years. His numbers on the season, 619 yards, as Coach said, he averages 4 per game, just over 88 per contest, 4 touchdowns this year. He hasn't had the year, but I think maybe when you're that guy, and you can certainly agree or disagree, when you're that guy, I mean, he's the guy that everybody knows they need to stop, which makes it pretty hard to run every week.
It does, and I think early in the season he struggled a little bit. They're playing with a couple of younger offensive linemen, and I think that might have added to his struggles. And as I said, you know, they kind of found their groove a little bit in the Robert Morris game. But what was even more impressive to me in the Robert Morris game was, here's a team in Bryant that's 0-6. They hadn't won going back to last year. They trail in the fourth quarter, late in the fourth quarter, and put together a drive to go down the field and win the game, coming from behind to do it. A lot of teams in that situation with that record wouldn't have done that, and they did it. And guess who caught the touchdown pass?
Jordan Harris.
Yeah, surprise, surprise.
And the one guy that maybe has taken a bit of the brunt so far this season for Bryant, Mike Westerhaus, their quarterback, who is a junior, seemed to have found his stride a little bit last week. Threw 4 touchdown passes to almost balance his numbers out for the year going in. He had been picked off more than he had thrown touchdown passes. Now he comes into the Monmouth game, still under 50% as a completion rate, but over 1,400 yards through 7 games, 11 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. But he played well on Saturday against Robert Morris.
He played very well. He was very accurate with all of his throws. He made good decisions with the ball. He got the ball into the hands of his playmakers, primarily Jordan Harris in the pass game. I thought he managed the game very well, and he made some very clutch throws, particularly in that fourth quarter when they needed a drive to take the lead.
Now, what Bryant probably hasn't done very well this year, and we'll switch gears a little bit, is they haven't played a whole lot of defense against really anybody. They give up about 37 points per game. They've yielded, since the beginning of the season, 39 to St. Francis, Pennsylvania, 51 to Maine, 35 to Duquesne, 31 to Wagner, 31 to Albany, and even 35 last week to Robert Morris in the only win of the season.
Yeah, they've had trouble stopping people. You know, I think, again, they're playing with some new faces, some guys that weren't in the lineup a year ago. Probably their best defensive players are the one defensive lineman. Colvin is a very good player. Their inside linebacker is another one of their top guys. And then one of their corners is a very good cover guy. And their scheme is one, Matt, that they're going to put 7 guys down in the box on every play. They have their safeties playing close to the line of scrimmage. They play a quarters-type coverage, and the safeties are very active in the run game. You know, where they have had some problems is out on the perimeter because they put their guys in one-on-one matchups quite a bit.
Do you worry, as the head coach and the overseer of the program, have you worried at all this week about your team's psyche after back-to-back losses?
No, I'm not concerned about that at all. I mean, or not to the extent that it's going to make me change anything that we do. I think our defensive guys are upset. They're angry. They know we haven't played up to our standard or up to their standard in each of the last 2 games, and they're ready to go out and get ourselves back on track. I think you heard both Andrew and Dave speak to that fact that they're not happy with the way we've played either. They know we're a better defense. They know we hold ourselves to a higher standard than the way we've performed in each of the last 2 weeks, you know, and I think we'll see a much better performance on Saturday. You know, on the offensive side of the ball, as well as we played last week, you know, we still didn't maybe run the ball as well as we would like to. You know, a lot of our rushing yards in that 150 that we had, you know, you got to attribute to Kyle Frazier, and some of those were actually passes that became runs when he pulled the ball down. We know we've got to be a team that can run the ball consistently, first down, second down, third down, like we did earlier in the season, and we need to get back to that as well. Tristan mentioned or alluded to the turnovers that we had that, you know, we feel took some points off the board and created some short fields for our opponent last week. And, you know, that's something that is an offense where we take a lot of pride in not turning the ball over. So there's room for improvement there. And all of our guys know that, you know, this is the NEC. And they saw last week what could happen if Duquesne went out to Central Connecticut or when Robert Morris went out to a winless Bryant. They know that it's going to be a tough game regardless of who the opponent is, and we've got to be ready to go.
Final question before we wrap up, Coach. I mean, every game is a big game, and it's always this week's game that's the most important. But really for Monmouth, I think it's more true now than ever because you don't want to erase what was a good 3-1 start with a three-game losing streak. And if there was a loss this week, now all of a sudden you're 3-4, and then I think there's a lot of head-scratching going on. Plus it's homecoming. Plus there's going to be a big crowd. Plus the weather's nice. Plus if you win, you kind of erase a lot of what the last 2 weeks have been.
We certainly do, and, you know, we're excited. I know all the guys on the team were excited about this being homecoming. We haven't played here at Kessler Field in almost four weeks now. We're excited about it. Homecoming always brings a big crowd, especially if the weather is good, which it looks now that it's going to be. You know, we're excited to get back in the win column this week and go through these remaining NEC games, you know, without a loss. And it starts this week with Bryant.
All right, Coach, appreciate the time. We'll see you on Saturday. Always fun.
Thanks, Matt. Appreciate it.
Quick hour. Phil Harding back in the studios of 1160, 1310 a.m. Great job out of him, as always. Want to thank our guests for coming on the show tonight, Tristan Roberts, Dave Demersion, and Andrew Sutton. For the head coach, Kevin Callahan, I'm Matt Harmon. Reminding everyone, tickets available. You go to GoMUHawks.com or just swing on by Saturday afternoon. Should be a great weather day and a great crowd. Big one for Monmouth as they take on the Bulldogs of Bryant. Our kickoff set for 1 o'clock pregame show on the Shore Sports Network at 1245. So long from Jack's Goal Line Stand. You've been listening to the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Football Show on the Shore Sports Network.
You've been listening to the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Hawks Football Show on the Shore Sports Network, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310, and at shoresportsnetwork.com. Join us again next Tuesday when we broadcast live from Jack's Goal Line Stand in West End and talk Hawks football. For more on your Monmouth Hawks, visit GoMUHawks.com and shoresportsnetwork.com.